Yeah.
You want to like him, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. You say gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every morning, Monday through Friday, right here on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. I am one of your favorite hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
And I'm not going to toss it up quite yet to the other guy, you know, the man on the other microphone. I'm not going to toss it up to him because from what I understand, he went on a jungle safari this past weekend. He went out into the rainforest. He found some giant gorillas, and he was fighting them, and he came back pretty beat up. The gorillas, they were very scary. They were very large. They were very King Kong-esque. And so he managed to come out alive, and I'm going to take that as a victory. And with that being said, when you're beat up, sometimes it takes you a few minutes to get on the microphone. And I'm just going to let him jump in whenever he feels like he's ready for it, because I know he's been through a lot, and I don't want to force him to do anything he doesn't want to do. But thank you for listening in. We took yesterday off, so if you were listening yesterday and it was a replay or running through commercials, I apologize. We did take yesterday off. That's okay, though. Every once in a while, we need a day off. That's how life works, right? We call those mental health days where you just go and you refresh the battery, you recharge it. So that's what we were able to do yesterday, Chris America, myself, and I think we feel a lot better now. We're coming back. We're coming in hot. We're coming live, and we're ready to do this. We want to talk that hockey, though I don't have any hockey to talk about. Maybe I'll find some. Some of our listeners like hockey, I guess, so maybe I'll find that. I'm going to start it out with the big news from last night. The big story, Monday Night Football. You know, we've been talking about this for quite a while on the show, but Monday Night Football doesn't seem like it's got the same pizzazz as Thursday Night Football has. Scheduling's been a little rocky, but this game ended up being a pretty good matchup on paper. I was looking at it, I was thinking 49ers, Browns. One, the 49ers are coming in undefeated, the last undefeated team in the NFC. So you're thinking, okay, and they got something to prove here. They want to keep that undefeated streak alive. They've been playing really good. 49ers have been playing good football, and they wanted to keep that going. And then you have a team like the Browns that come in with all that offseason hype. They get the big names of Odell Beckham on their team. They've got Baker Mayfield, who's in his second year, who's continuing to develop, and you should get a good, scrappy bunch out of this Cleveland Browns. And that's what I expected. I expected it to be scrappy. I expected it to be a good matchup. I expected there to be some sort of fight that was put up. But the only fight that was put up was that defensive line beating up Baker Mayfield all night long. The man is just one of the... I don't know. He just had one of the worst games of his career is what happened. And when you have one of the worst games of your career, you know what happens? You know what happens? You lose. And that's what happened last night. 31-3. It was absolutely a horrendous, and I'm saying horrendous, and that is probably putting it lightly, an absolutely horrendous showing by Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. And Baker, man, he's got something to prove now, because that magic from last season, that magic is gone. And when that magic goes away, you come in this season, you got a new coach, you got these new weapons, and you've got high expectations, and you're now sitting 2-3, just losing 31-3 on Monday Night Football. Yeah, you got to come back and rethink what's going on. And when I say he had one of the worst games of his career, I, I'm looking at his stats. He went 8 of 22, only 100 yards, fewest yards of his professional career, two interceptions, two fumbles. Bosa got to him all night long, 13.4 passer rating. I would say that was the worst game of his career. He's got a short career. So, you know, it's not like it's this long, illustrious career that we're talking about here. But still, expectations for Baker Mayfield have been high ever since he joined the league. And he came in with a chip on his shoulder. He came in right when Hugh Jackson gets fired. Greg Williams, I believe, was the interim head coach at the time. And they really finished the year out strong. And he showed so much potential. And now this season, it's just a completely different feel. This Browns team doesn't feel like they have that same chip on their shoulder. They don't feel like they have that same fight like they had last season. And you could tell a huge difference from what we were seeing last season to what we were getting this season. And I hate to say it, and it's too early to throw this in, because the Browns have been bad for a very long time, and we know that coaches, yeah, they make a huge difference, but they're not everything. But I thought last year the Browns, they should have taken that interim tag off of Greg Williams and just rolled with it. I know Greg Williams has a stigma in the league. I know he was the Bounty Gate guy. I know that teams are probably a little nervous of just jumping in on a guy that's a defensive-minded coach in a offensive-minded league. And, yeah, they passed on Greg Williams. And they went with Freddie Kitchens, which, you know what? I don't know Freddie Kitchens all that well. He's been a coordinator his whole life. He never had a chance to be a head coach. This is his one big chance. And, yeah, it's not starting out too hot, unfortunately. And with losses like 31-3 on Monday Night Football, the opening game of the season, the Titans completely blew out this team. Oh, hold on. What do we have here? What is going on? Caller, you're on the air. Nice for you to call in this morning. Welcome to Scout Team Radio.
Yeah, it's your boy, Chris America. Still frustrated with technology.
All right. Look,
I don't get it, Lover. Why can't you just buy a computer, hook it up, and just roll? Like, why do I need to go through and figure out ways to unlock my own damn computer and give access to stupid sites?
It's the man trying to keep you down. How do you feel about the man?
ESPN Radio trying to keep me down.
That's what it was. ESPN. Why is the man always trying to get us down, Chris America? I don't understand it.
The Guru Sabha. I won't let it get me down. Don't bring me down.
All right. Well, I feel the energy. I feel the excitement. Like you came out a little rocky just because that stupid computer. But you're not letting it bring you down. You're not like Baker Mayfield where you just get taken down all night. You're not like that. No, not at all.
Man, is Baker Mayfield like, are we seeing the real Baker Mayfield?
We might be, because this year I haven't seen any of those flashes of greatness like I saw last year. I don't see that chip on his shoulder. I think he almost thought that this was going to be just an easy stroll in the park type year. And if you come in with that attitude into the NFL, you're going to get knocked down, and that's what he's been done. That's what's been done. He's been knocked down over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's not been a good season. And I hate to say it, but I think they made the wrong call on the coach, too.
You are absolutely correct. I was just talking about that right before you called in. Interim head coach, Greg Williams. He had it, man. He had this team humming. He had them going in the right direction. He was the answer. Everything they needed was right there. They had him. And what do? They go a different direction. And I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is going to be the answer, but I was all about Greg Williams last year.
I mean, they hired a guy who's in his 60s, who's been a coordinator his entire NFL career. And, like, if that many teams have passed up on him, there's got to be a reason for it. And I think we're seeing that reason now.
Yeah, and I love a good redemption story. I like an underdog story. So I wasn't necessarily opposed to Freddie Kitchens. I just thought that Greg Williams has such a better resume, and he was doing it already. Why are you afraid of that? Is it the bounty gate thing? Like, is there an unwritten rule that these owners can't hire Greg Williams because of that whole incident?
I don't know, but if you're going to go the offensive coordinator route, go with like a Sean McVay lackey, like everybody else was doing. Go with somebody who's going to have a fun, innovative offense that is privy to what our boy Baker Mayfield is trying to do. I don't know, man. It's got to be a little bit on the quarterback, a little bit on the coach. But when you have that much offensive talent and you're seeing that lack of production, it's just, I'm done with the whole, like, oh, they got to find their chemistry excuse. We're almost in the middle of October. It's time to get it figured out.
Yeah, and Mike Berlant's tweeting in. Thank you, Mike, for tweeting in. Once again, you can tweet us in at Scouts Team Radio on Twitter. He's saying, you cannot give Greg Williams the keys to the car, especially when you're propping up the idea of player safety. Yeah, I feel you on that, but Greg Williams is the right man for the job. He's just such a good coach, and I know I'm in a situation where my favorite team might possibly have a coaching opening, the Washington Redskins, and Greg Williams was our defensive coordinator about 10, 15 years ago, and one of our old players is speaking out, Santana Moss. He's saying, bring in Greg Williams. Somebody needs to give this guy a chance. And we have players, former players, saying, give this guy a chance. Somebody needs to give this guy a chance. I think a team that wants to win deserves to give Greg Williams a chance. I agree with Mike Perlon, though. I don't know if anybody's going to pull the trigger because player safety is such a crucial factor in the NFL these days.
So does that mean Greg Williams can know? Like, if we're really concerned about Greg Williams and safety, then he shouldn't be allowed to coach anything in the NFL, right? Because he can tell players on his defense to hurt people just as much as a defensive coordinator as he can a head coach.
Well, I have another question for you. If you were so worried about player safety, why did the Cleveland Browns trot out the worst offensive line I've ever seen in my life last night? Mike Berlant also tweeting, and he says, a little on the QB, a little on the coach, and a lot on the O-line. What's the old wet vomit in a paper bag reference that we like to throw out, Chris America?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's what that team had last night. Ooh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, between Cincinnati and Cleveland. Does Ohio have the worst offensive line out of the whole state?
No, Ohio State's got a much better offensive line. So, yeah, we're going to say Ohio State has a better offensive line. So they're holding up the whole state better than the pros.
Maybe they should, you know, borrow some of those players.
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
You like that? Get them on a rental?
Yeah, I like it. You know, now that we're paying players officially since the rules have changed in 2023 in California, I think that counts. I don't know how that whole bill and legislature reads out, but I'm pretty sure renting a player from Ohio State just so the Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals don't look like they have the worst offensive lines of all time, I think that should be written in the legislature.
Yeah, I agree. And so you got to be happy Jay Gruden is gone.
Yeah, I am. It's bittersweet. But before I get into that, because once I get on a Redskins rant, I think I'll go on for a while. I just want to say one last thing from that game last night. 49ers. I am most surprised that they are undefeated this season. I was not expecting it, though they were hyped up quite a bit. But is this 49ers team for real? They're the last undefeated team in the NFC. Can you say that you feel confident that the 49ers all season long and maybe into the playoffs are going to be a contender now that you've seen this little sample size?
No. Because I don't know who they've played so far. They played who? This Brown team that came in hot on paper but has not played to their billing. And that was a home game. Let's see. They've played... You know what? I'll decide when they play the Rams, Leopard, which I think is next week.
Okay.
And I don't...
We got to give that a shot. We got to give it a chance, huh?
Yeah. They played what? The Buccaneers, the hapless Steelers without with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. They barely squeaked by them. They just haven't. Their schedule has been uninspiring for me to say, yeah, I'm ready to buy into this team as an undefeated team. They're a lot like the Buffalo Bills when they were undefeated. They're a lot like the Dallas Cowboys when they were undefeated. They were just beating a lot. So here we go. Buccaneers, Bengals, Steelers, Browns. Pretty sure all of those teams have losing records. Two of those teams have trash offensive lines, which we just discussed. Another team has Mason Rudolph. And then you're talking about the up and down, can't figure them out, Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, how do they go and put up 55 points on the Rams and then come back? And, I mean, the Saints defense is legit. We saw that the week before with the Cowboys. But can't figure that team out. We'll know more when they play the Rams. And the Rams, they got to bounce back. The Rams need this win against the 49ers.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, man. The Rams have been not as good as we thought they'd be.
With that said, this 49ers schedule sets up for them to be like 9-1 or 8-2 going into the rest of the season, just like the Buffalo Bills. So they got the Rams, the Redskins, the Panthers, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals over the next four games. That sets up really nice for a really good looking record down the stretch where people say like, oh, Chris America said they're not legit and they're 8-2 or they're 6-2. Well, yeah, I mean, again, like your schedule at the first half doesn't look that great. The second half, I think, is when we'll know, because then they have the Packers, the Ravens, the Saints, the Rams, and the Seahawks again to close out the schedule. So the second half of the season is when we'll really, really know about this 49ers team.
All right. I agree with all of that. And the tweet coming in from Mike Berlant says the defensive front four seems good enough to keep those Niners in any game. And I'll have to agree with that. And then a surprise tweet coming in from left field. We're talking football, and somebody wants us to let's do that hockey talk. And I like it. I like this tweet coming in from Jenny of Ohio. Did you check this out, Chris America?
No, not yet. What does it say?
Well, it's just a picture of her wearing a shirt that says, let's do that hockey. And I just have to say, it's pretty awesome shirt. I think we need to get ourselves a Scout Team Radio one of those. It also is a selfie in a bathroom, like public bathroom. So that's kind of random, too. That's weird. I like it, though. I'm retweeting that. Boom. We're retweeting it, making it viral. Keep it going. Let's talk that hockey. All right, Chris America, I'm going to go back to what you were saying. So my Washington Redskins, they're sitting there. They're without a coaching figure at this point. So things have gotten a little turbulent in D.C., and I would have to say that this wasn't unexpected, right? Like, going into the season, I think Jay Gruden was the one guy that everybody was like, yeah, he's already on the hot seat before the season even starts. And he becomes the first coach to be fired this season. Which is, you know, it's an accomplishment to be known as the first. He's a pioneer. He's really setting foot in uncharted territory. But that leaves the Redskins' cupboard a little bare here now. Not a lot of talent on the team. Well, who's going to be the next coach? But I feel good because now it's total rebuild. We're going to get a high draft pick, a new coach, and hopefully the future's bright. I get to kickstart it, refresh, restart, you know, all that good stuff.
I like that, Loudbeard. I like it for you guys, but I hope you guys just don't screw it up, because you've been through this coaching search so many times. It gets frustrating. Trust me, I know. I'm a Gator fan. Went through, what, three coaches? Basically been through four or five coaches in the last 20 years. When you get the right one, it's great. It's fantastic. You feel secure. Like right now, I'm still a little questionable on some of the decision-making by Dan Mullen. But all in all, Dan Mullen's done a great job. And we can go into that later. But when you have a bad coach, Loudbeard, and you see it right away, you're like, man, I know I'm stuck with this coach for the next two, three. And in your case, it's where Dan Snyder. Is it Dan Snyder?
Yep.
Dan Snyder's patients went against him. And he's probably going around the office and saying, see, this is why I don't wait around, because I wasted 6 years on this guy. And it sucks when you're stuck with a guy. You don't know whose fault it is. Is it Kirk Cousins' fault? Is it the coach's fault? Well, now we know it's just like with the Cleveland Browns. It's a little bit of both. And you got to have somebody in there to make those decisions fast and decisive and move on, or you're stuck with what the Redskins were.
All right. Well, Mike Berlon tweets in. He says he's predicting, or a guest on his show this past week predicted Marvin Lewis would be the next coach of Washington. How pissed would Loudbeard be? I'd be pretty happy with 8-8 every year. It's better than what we're doing this year.
You know, making the playoffs year in and year out.
Yeah. I don't know. Marvin Lewis isn't a terrible coach, but he's not a take you to the promised land coach by any means.
No, he's not. But you kind of like with the Magic. You're glad to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what you would get out of Marvin Lewis. You'd be the sixth seed in the playoffs every third season, and you'd be either 6-10 or 7-9 or 8-8 the other season. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if that's the ceiling that we want, we'd be okay with Marvin Lewis. Now, Chris America, I'm going to play a quick game with you. I hope you're okay with that. Now I'm getting a little feedback here. Are you playing around with your laptop?
I think I figured out how to make the microphone work.
Okay. Well, when we go to commercial break, maybe you'll come back with it.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you sound like you're in an echo tube.
What about now?
Yeah, maybe the phone was the problem.
No, I figured out how to get the setting. Yeah, the phone was on next to the laptop. That's why you're getting the feedback.
Oh, well, that's good.
Now I just need to hook my headphones back in.
Yeah, I still hear a little feedback in the background, but it might be because the computer speakers. Hook your headphones back in. You might be a lot better.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get that all squared away. But I have a game once you get that all hooked up. And while you're hooking that up, this was brought to you by... I don't know. I got nothing.
What were some old school headphones?
I don't know.
By those
RCA?
Headphones you used to wear with your Walkman.
RCA.
There you go. Brought to you by Circuit City, where you can get all your headphones.
Yep.
Radio because check. I can't find mine now. They were literally like right here.
Did the cat take those also? You have a problem with this cat. This cat, you have a tricky cat. At least I blame my kids for stuff. All right, you ready to roll into this game? The echo seems to have stopped. We're ready to go. You sound great, Chris America. Unless you just turned yourself off and then stopped talking. In that case, you sound even better.
No, I stepped away to go find these damn headphones. Where the hell did they go?
All right, well, whenever you're up to it, I have a little game for you. I don't know if you're going to get to it or not.
All right, give me a second. I'll find these headphones, and then we can roll. Do you still have the feedback?
Yeah, I hear a little in the background. We'll tweak that here in a few minutes. So I won't go too far into the abyss while we're waiting for Chris America here. I will say that the Redskins, even though they lose their coach, they still seem like they're making sound decisions. I don't know if Jenny of Ohio is still listening in, but she has been a non-advocate of Dwayne Haskins and her opinion that Ohio State quarterbacks will never be successful in the NFL. And it sounds like the Redskins are coming up against the Dolphins this week, which should be a really epic battle between winless teams. And Dwayne Haskins will not start. He's not even in the running for the starting job. The Redskins, they come out, there's sources that say that they will start a veteran quarterback, either Colt McCoy or Case Keenum. And to me, that says that Dwayne Haskins is just not ready. He sounds like he's going to be the next Josh Rosen. And that is just more disappointment. A team that drafts a quarterback in the first round, and it looks like he's already bust material if he can't even get on the field against the hapless Dolphins when your coach gets fired on a team that has really nothing to play for. If you can't get on the field for that, then, yeah, you're the next Josh Rosen. And hopefully the Redskins get an early pick in this upcoming draft, and they become the next Cardinals, where we can get a Kyler Murray and then trade off Josh Rosen. Or
yeah, there's
in our
no
case,
hopefully
Dwayne
you're
Haskins.
Gonna get you're gonna get a high pick.
Yeah, that's true. And Memphis Spence says yes, blame the cat because it's definitely the cat's fault. And then he gives a little face like sure. Mm-hmm. There you go.
He has a studio cat. He knows exactly what it's like.
Oh yeah, you know those cats. They're pretty wily. Pretty wily. Well, Chris America, sometimes, you know, we get that gambling itch, right? Where we just got to throw some money down on something. And I saw the odds for the next potential coaching search here for the Washington Redskins. So I'm going to throw out a couple names, and I want you to give me the odds. All right, I get a little bit of feedback there, but that's okay. I feel like the mixer came off. Because I can hear everything in the background.
That is so weird. Why is it doing that? I just plugged the headphones in.
Good.
Wow, huge difference. You plug the headphones on, and I can hear everything. It sounds staticky, and I can hear, like, tinging in the background.
I can't stress enough how much I hate technology.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you told us that. So we're going to roll with this. You can hear me all right. You sound okay. We'll just say okay. You ready to move on with this coach's game? You think you can handle this?
I mean, yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I want you to give me the odds, what you think the odds are for these coaches to be the next Washington Redskins coach, because sometimes I want to gamble. I want to put my money where it really counts, and I'm going to throw out a couple names at you, and it's going to be either, you know, in between 1 and 500 are the odds. So this first guy is one of the greatest announcers we've ever heard on television, and that is the great Tony Romo, former Cowboys quarterback. He is actually on the list in Las Vegas of being a person of interest that may have odds to be the next coach of the Washington Redskins. So between 1 and 500, what do you think the odds are that Tony Romo is the next coach of the Washington Redskins?
I'm going to say 20 to 1.
All right. Well, that's optimistic. Tony Romo is actually 500 to 1. Not very good odds, but Tony Romo is on the list. We'll take that. Here's another name. I know one that you liked. Lincoln
Riley. I feel
like
I should put $20 on that just in case.
Yeah, that would be a good payoff. I actually wouldn't mind that pick. You know what? If I got to get a former Cowboy on my team, Tony Romo is the one I think I could stand the most.
Yeah, for sure. It's really because you've sat there and listened to him predict plays and then they happen.
Yeah, he's a NFL whisperer of some sort, and I will take that. Yeah, Tony Romo, 500 to 1. Those odds should be better. Here's another one that you predicted. Lincoln Riley. What do you think the odds are that Lincoln Riley will be the next coach of the Washington Redskins?
I'm gonna go 10 to 1.
Okay. Now he's actually 50 to 1.
Really?
So he's sitting at 50 to 1. That high.
Are they thinking he maybe wants, like, the Cowboys job or, like, another NFL job?
I don't know. Here's one for you. Offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, Josh McDaniels, rumored in a lot of head coaching jobs. What is he predicted at? What are the odds you say there?
25 to 1.
Josh McDaniels is actually 10 to 1.
Wow, that low.
Yep.
I figured after the whole Colts fiasco, they would figure most teams are staying away from him.
Now he's sitting there at 10 to 1.
And, you know, everybody said, like, oh, he looks like an idiot now that they're good. And then now he doesn't have to deal with the fact that he retired. Although Andrew Luck retired. The Colts, man, what are they doing? They're looking good without Andrew Luck.
Well, they lose to the Raiders 2 weeks ago. And then this week, they make the Chiefs look terrible. It's an enigma. I don't understand. I can't figure it out.
Well, I mean, the Raiders came back. They're on a winning streak. They beat the Bears. I mean, now it's Chase Daniels Bears, but still.
It's still the Bears. Here's a name for you. This is one that sticks to your heart. Lane Kiffin. What do you think the odds are that the Washington Redskins hire Lane Kiffin?
I'm going to say 50-1. 45-1.
All right, we're going at 100-1. Lane Kiffin's got little bad odds. This is a big name. This guy went to a Super Bowl, Jim Harbaugh. What do you think the odds are that they hired Jim Harbaugh?
They got to be high still, like 35-1.
25-1. You're doing a good job at this. Okay, so these last two are one of the higher, I guess, expectations here for the Washington Redskins. One is Mike Tomlin. His name seems to be floating out there quite a bit. Mike Tomlin. What do you think the odds are Mike Tomlin's the next head coach of the Washington Redskins?
Mike Tomlin, that's 600-1.
14-1.
They're really that unless the Steelers fire him, I don't see that happening.
I agree with you. I thought that was kind of odd. And the highest odds of all the potential coaches for the Washington Redskins is the offensive coordinator of Kansas City, Eric Bieniemy. I'm just going to tell you, it's 7-2 odds there. So I just thought it was interesting, some of these names floating around. Another one that was out there is Nick Saban. What do you think the odds are Nick Saban's the next coach of the Redskins?
Maybe like 8-1, 10-1.
250-1.
I suck at this game.
Well, I don't think Nick Saban's going to leave Alabama.
I don't know, man. I still think there's a part of him that wants to do it. I know people think he's fat and happy there, but I think if you offer the right amount of money in the right situation, now that might not be the Redskins, but like I don't think he wants to deal with Dan Schneider, so I can see that. I can see that being the main reason why it's that high.
So what if the Redskins get the number one pick and they're able to draft? Tua comes out this year, right?
Yeah.
He could be eligible. They get Tua, and then Nick Saban's like, well, you know, it is my guy at quarterback. Maybe I can make this work in the professional setting. Let me give it a shot. I mean, there's 250-1 odds on that.
I mean, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yep, I'm saying there's a chance. Well, Chris America, we've had fun with this game, but I just have to say that we're really pushing this commercial break. I think we're all a little bit thrown off by your technology issues there.
No,
but I have a question for you.
Okay.
What do the Houston Rockets...
Yeah, go to the commercial break. I can't hear you now. This computer is frustrating me.
Okay. We're going to a quick commercial break. On the flip side, we are going to talk about what do the Houston Rockets and South Park have in common.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst. Hey everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
Hi, everybody. Captain Lou here from the Captain Lou Extravaganza, coming to you live every Tuesday night on 12OunceSportsRadio.com from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, it's a different name, but it's still the same great show. We're going to have guests every week live on the show, and we'll have your opinions as well as mine, and we'll see whose is better and obviously whose is right. That's every Tuesday night live, the Captain Lou Extravaganza from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern Time on 12OunceSportsRadio.com.
Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world, those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. Podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for? Yeah, welcome back. It's Wacky Tuesday as we continue on this crazy train we know as Scout Team Radio. Chris America is coming in hot today. He's got a new studio equipment, and it seems to be malfunctioning. Anytime we get new technology, we run into these problems, but that's great. That shows you that we're actually live. That's right. We didn't record this. We're not editing this. We're just doing what the hell we want when we want to. We're basically like... we're like Cartman on South Park. Pretty much. Hit us up on Twitter, at Scout Team Radio. We love it when you do that. We're live here on 12-Ounce Sports Radio. We also simulcast on the Full Press Radio Network. And we're a part of the Barn Burner Podcast Network. Oh, man. Chris America, I don't know if you're listening in, but it just happened to me again. It just happened again. A damn tree frog just jumped into my studio. Pull back the curtain a little bit, like the Wizard of Oz. I set up a studio out in my garage, and it is a full-functioning studio. But to let a little air in, I crack the garage door, and occasionally a jumping tree frog comes at me, and I'm staring at one right now, and it is not – it's scary. This thing could hop on me at any time. I'm going to see if I could take a picture, tweet it out on air here. Yep, there we go. I want the fans to see what I'm going with right now in studio. I'm really lost my momentum here because this thing's jumping around like crazy, and it is scary. It's absolutely scary. And as I'm tweeting, I can't talk and tweet at the same time apparently. And there
you're
we go. I hear again. Myself.
You're going the old tree frog routine again.
Yep, I just tweeted it out on Scout Team at Scout Team Radio. You can see it. He's hanging on the Scout Team Radio banner as we speak. And yeah, it's scary. He's staring at me right now, Chris Mayer. He's looking into my soul. Have you ever looked at the eyes of a tree frog? They're just black as night. That thing has death written all over him. I'm going to start swinging any second. If he jumps towards me, oh, he's going to be in trouble. I got to throw something at him. I got to... water bottle from this morning. I was drinking some water. It's almost empty. I'm ready. I'm going to throw it at him. Let's see what happens. Is this a good idea or bad idea? Because if I throw it at him, that means he could jump at me as a counterattack. And I don't think I want that.
I think the fans want that, though. So
all right.
Do it.
I just missed him. Just missed him by a hair. Mm. He
so you're about as accurate as Dwayne Haskins.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Three interceptions in my debut as a NFL quarterback. Yeah, that sounds about right, because that water bottle throw, it wasn't as close as I made it sound. It was actually very far off. I wish I would have been within a hair, but it is not, yeah. It's not pretty. Oh, man, this guy is active.
I feel like you're wrong
morning.
About tree frogs, though, man. I look at a tree frog's soul, and I see a fun guy who just wants to chill, man. I'm not here to hurt you, Loudbeard. I'm just here to hang out. Chill with you. Maybe we can have a couple of those brewskis inside your fridge. I don't know. Maybe if you got some of those edibles, we can eat those too, man. I'm just a tree frog. I look slimy, but look at my feet. Look how cool they look. Look at my eyes. They're all colorful and stuff. Like, if you want to start tripping, man, I'm your guy. I'm going to hook you up with some good hallucinogens. I'm just a tree frog, man. I'm not trying to hurt you, Loudbeard. I'm just a tree frog. Why you got to be throwing stuff at me, man? It's not cool.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm.
That's all it is.
It looks like it jumped out of the studio. I don't know anything you just said. I'm sitting here in fear. I couldn't even hear out of fear.
You got rid of Mr. Tree Frog, man. He's just a cool guy. He ain't here to hurt you.
Well, as Jenny of Ohio tweets in, she says, as my grandma always says, too big to live. Yeah, it is too big to live. I think we need to squish it. Thank you, Jenny of Ohio.
I disagree.
She's got my side, man.
As my grandmother used to say, tree frogs are too legit to quit.
Hey, hey. You like that hey, hey, as I added
I
that
do
on
like
there?
That hey, hey, loud beard. So you got a brand new coach coming. We have all the NFL talk out of the way. Did you talk about your UCF Knights?
Who?
All right. Then we can talk about my Florida Gators and how they looked impressive but didn't look impressive. I honestly went into that weekend thinking Auburn and Florida were two of the most overrated top 10 teams. I didn't believe in Auburn. I know a lot of people were like, Bo Nix this, Bo Nix that. And I'm like, outside of like the fourth quarter, Bo Nix has looked like a freshman quarterback. Pretty average. He looks like he has a high ceiling, but very limited with what he can do. And I knew my Gator defense was going to come out stout. The defense was not the side of the ball that I was worried about. It was the other side of the ball with my offense against Auburn's defense. And, man, without the turnovers, I think we blow out Auburn. Those pesky turnovers, some questionable play calling by Dan Mullen. I don't know what he's doing, calling for a fake punt on 4th and 3 on our, like, 35-yard line. Don't know what that was all about, Loudbeard. But it was almost as bad as Kirby Smart calling for it on 4th and 11 against Alabama in the national or the SEC championship. Almost as bad, but not quite. That game should have been a lot worse, a lot more lopsided than it was. And then, of course, the SEC getting SEC preference. Auburn only drops down to number 12 after they lose to the Gators. And now the Florida Gators get to go against another team that I think is a little bit more highly overrated than what they are. I'm not saying the LSU Tigers aren't good, but everybody's acting like they're this great team, and all I've seen them do is play well against garbage. And why do we prop up SEC teams when they play garbage, but we don't prop up teams like Boise State or Wisconsin or UCF?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, the Gators are going to have to go against LSU and Georgia, so they've got a little bit of a gauntlet ahead of them. But Joe Burrow's on this LSU Tigers team, he's looked fantastic this year. This isn't the same Joe Burrow's that played Alabama last year. This guy has really grown and matured. So I know that you think that the LSU Tigers might be a little overrated, but this is going to be quite the test for your Florida Gators.
I mean, it'll be a test defensively, but again, Joe Burrow has done it against Northwest State, Vanderbilt, and Utah State. Let's not act like these are barn burner teams that Joe Burrow has been playing against. Yes, he went against Texas, and he looked great against Texas. That's been the only defense that we've played, and what do we do all the time? We hate on Big 12 defenses. But other than Texas, his only test, we've seen him play Georgia Southern, Northwest State, Vanderbilt, and Utah State. Again, if UCF, Wisconsin, anybody else that's not your top five big brands in the SEC, we're not blowing them up like we are blowing up LSU.
Okay. No, I can agree with you all day long. The SEC, they get preferential treatment. It's kind of been that way for quite a while now, and we're used to it. And I get that they're going to have to face each other, right? They're going to have tough opponents, so the cupcakes seem to be even more cupcakier when you look at them in that manner. But once they get down to their conference play and they play against each other, I think it's going to shake out the way it needs to shake out. But you're right. Some of these other teams, right now I look at an undefeated Memphis team. Again, we're going out of the Power 5, but an undefeated Memphis team sitting at, what, 23 in the rankings, 22? I don't remember exactly where they fell. I mean, that team, I think they've been good. I think they should be higher than that. But it's because oh, who are they playing? When a team like LSU may not have played anybody of real merit, including Texas. I mean, is Texas overrated? Yeah, a little bit. But you're right. You're going to get that SEC treatment if you're in the SEC. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, and I look at Joe Burrow the same way I looked at Leonard Fournette all the time when he played at LSU. It's just, okay, you're doing this against all these cupcake teams, against these no-name teams, and then where does he go when he plays the Alabamas? He disappeared. Leonard Fournette was nowhere to be found anytime LSU played Alabama or anytime Leonard Fournette played Florida. Like, he just disappears against those teams, and what do you get out of Leonard Fournette in the NFL? You get this guy that's so up and down and all around that you can't predict him, where he's going to go. People still draft high in fantasy, and I sit there and I think, I don't know what you're doing. You're going to get maybe one game where he's going to give you like 40 points, and then the rest of the season you're going to be pulling your hair out, wondering when to start him and when to bench him.
This is true. Now, I have a question for you. Is Kyle Trask the real deal with the Florida Gators?
Real deal meaning what exactly? Like, is he a Heisman Trophy winning top five quarterback in the draft? Real deal? No. Is he the guy that can complete me some passes and run the offense? And as long as he doesn't make any mistakes. Now, his mistakes, like his turnovers this year, I haven't minded them as bad as Felipe Franks' turnovers because they've been a little bit of like effort turnovers, or they've been kind of, I'm not going to say they're not his fault. Like, I think a couple of his sacks were just the Auburn Tigers just got in and just hit him so hard that it jarred the ball loose. And it's like, you know, how can you protect the football when you're sitting in the pocket and you just get hammered 2 seconds after the ball is snapped? I think another one was just a guy came around the side and just swatted the ball out. You know, we see that no matter who the quarterback is, whether that's Tom Brady or whether it's Kyle Trask, we see that all the time where the defensive end or the linebacker comes blitzing off the edge from behind and just gets behind the quarterback and just swats the ball out of his hand, you know, on his blind side. So they've been kind of like not his fault. In a lot of his interceptions, he's trying to really just effort plays and get in there, where Felipe Franks, he would just throw the ball. There'd be nowhere near the wide receiver he's throwing it to, and it's intercepted.
Okay. Now, I guess when I clarify the real deal, I want to get your opinion on this. So when I say real deal, is he good enough to beat both LSU and Georgia? How about that? That's the qualification for real deal.
I think he's good enough to manage the Florida Gators offense. And the Florida Gators defense is good enough to keep that manageable offense in the game. So, yes. I don't think he's good enough to put the team on his back. And if either game goes into a shootout, that he's good enough to play in a shootout? No. But he's good enough that if the Florida defense plays like they played against Auburn, he can manage a win against LSU and Georgia.
Okay. There we go.
But again, it just depends on if that defense is going to play like they played against Auburn. I think LSU and Georgia's offenses are a lot better than Auburn's offense. Auburn's offense is very predictable. And it's another part about with Dan Mullen's offense. I feel like Dan Mullen's offense has become extremely predictable. Like, third and two, we have no option on third and two or fourth and two. Like, he ran a guy with an injured knee up the middle who, even if he didn't have an injured knee, is not Tim Tebow. He's not going to crush through the line and knock people over and get you those hard 2 yards. That Kyle Trask is not that. And for some reason, Dan Mullen thought he was and called quarterback up the middle plays for him. I didn't understand that. But Florida's running game concerns me more than Kyle Trask does. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, P. Ryan's not very impressive. Now, he had the one big run, but other than that,
it's not so much them as much as it is, like, the pass blocking's good, the run blocking is atrocious. They get knocked off the line all the time when it comes to run blocking. It's frustrating to watch.
It is frustrating to watch. Okay, well, Florida Gators, they could be the real deal. We don't know, because Chris America's hanging on the fence. He likes his Kyle Trask. He thinks the Gators are good, but, you know, We'll see how they handle these upcoming tests. And I was just going to say, should I nominate Kyle Trask for a Heisman? But I don't feel like you're quite ready to go jump into that pool.
No, maybe you can go best quarterback out of the Power Five schools in Florida.
Okay, there we go. I like it. So last night in that 49ers game, a player, DJ Jones, proposes to his girlfriend on the sideline during Monday Night Football. Is that romantic? Or thinking of a big guy and sweaty in pads in front of everybody on national television, could that be considered embarrassing? What do you think if you were going to propose to a woman and you were an NFL player? Is doing it on Monday Night Football, is that the right move?
It's not the wrong move, but it's a move that's been done so many times before. So, like, unless she's kind of, you know, made mention, like, oh, isn't that so cute a bunch of times every time she sees a player do that, and he's sitting here thinking, okay, this is what she wants. She's made passing comments about it. Then it's absolutely the right move, right, Loudbeard? When it comes to proposals, you got to kind of put out feelers without her knowing that that's what you're doing. Or a lot of women will just put the feelers out there for you. They'll just drop hint after hint after hint. And it is your job, gentlemen. It is your job, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with a woman who is dropping out hints, to listen to those hints and put the puzzle piece together for her. Because some of these ladies out there, they want that perfect proposal, but they don't want to tell you exactly what they want. But they'll drop little hints like, oh, did you see that football player from Boise State proposed after? I really love that. That's one of my favorite all-time football stories. Isn't that great, honey? Isn't that so cute? That's so cute, right? That's when you got to perk up your ears, Loudbeard, and start listening. She's telling you something.
Okay. I like this great advice, love advice from the love guru.
You know, they call me the... they call me the space cowboy. Sometimes they call me the gangster of love, Loudbeard. We know this.
We do know this. Stay tuned for Valentine's Day this year. Chris America, he brings it hot each and every Valentine's Day. That's all I'm going to tease at this point. Also, George Kittle gets a little aggressive with Baker Mayfield on the sideline, smacking him several times. We just had it tweeted at us by Memphis Spence. Do you think the NFL deserved to fine him for this aggressive smack to Baker Mayfield?
Like, he, like, physically smacked him or talk smack?
Oh, yeah.
Or like,
oh, no. He was slamming him hard. You should check out this this video when you get a chance. We'll get back to that later.
I think they should definitely fine him, because there's no reason for George Kittle and Baker Mayfield to be, because isn't Kittle the tight end?
He is.
So
this is crazy.
That would mean one or the other had to be on the other sideline, and they decided to get, George Kittle decided to get physical with him. And I mean, if knocking a player out of bounds during football, like during football, is a 15-yard penalty, then being aggressive with another player for no reason at all out of bounds when you're not even playing football is, that's a finable offense.
Yeah,
nobody ain't got time to watch
this video. That's what all I got to say about that. Before the break, I had teased about what was in common between the Rockets and... Damn, frog is back, Chris America. This looks like a bigger frog. It's growing. Maybe it just got closer. I teased what was the different, or the, why the Houston Rockets and the show South Park are exactly the same. And because they've both been boycotted in China.
I just watched your video. I get it now.
I loved your breakdown of it, though. You're like, these are the sideline.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, so China's boycotting
the Houston
South
Rockets
Park?
And South Park. Both offended China this past week. South Park does an episode about censorship in China, and Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey says a comment about, man, I'm ready for this show to end because this frog is getting dangerously close right now. Dangerously close. Daryl Morey said something stupid about China, you know. Freedom for Hong Kong, he says on a Twitter post. And China, the whole country goes up in arms and gets pissed off. And yeah, now in China, both the Houston Rockets and South Park are being boycotted.
Well, too bad, China, because this isn't communist China. This is America. And Chris America doesn't like your censorship. Chris America doesn't like you holding the people down and your oppression and your commie bastards.
Nope. That's it. Chris America. Boom. Boom. Nailed it. That's it. Great show,
my friend.
Well,
they can boycott us because we stand behind Hong Kong, I think. I don't really know what's going on over there.
Yeah, there's something weird going on, but I have no idea.
All right. Peace.
Peace.